This is Coach Chris Holtman. You're listening to Drive the Lane Podcast.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane, the podcast where we have officially decided that if Ohio State won their last two games in the Big Ten tournament, they would have gone on to win March Madness. Unfortunately, they did not win those two games. So we are here talking about an exciting and an awesome Ohio State-less March Madness. Joey, we're going to talk about our favorite moments. But before we do that, overall, how much fun did you have watching March Madness this year?
It's always a blast. I will say, truthfully, this was maybe my favorite year. Excuse me, my favorite year other than when I was in it, because it was legal to bet on sports in Ohio. That was like, people were so jacked up about it for that reason. It was out of my office. People were talking about, hey, I've got this team plus three. I've got this team over. It was just fun. Sports gambling brings more people into sports, and it was just fun. But it was weird because Ohio State wasn't in it, but it also was like, oh, there's no pressure. There's no weird feelings. I can root for whoever I want. Like, I could care less about my bracket. I filled one out just because, like, that's just what Americans do. But I really just could root for upsets every game, which was a blast. So, and I sure got that. So it was amazing. March Madness doesn't even give it enough credit. Like, it was March insanity. Like, where the unexpected becomes the expected, Andrew. It was just crazy. What about you?
I had a great time. I had a great time at the games with you. A great time watching, you know.
Shout out Harrison.
Shout out my cousin Harrison. Great time the first 4 days in Columbus. Was really, really, really fun. Columbus was popping. Shout out Columbus. but I'm going to take a different approach than you. My bracket was, and we talk about this with Tim, I'm not going to bore everyone with my bracket, but my bracket was still very much alive as of Friday. And then, you know, had a chance to do a little something special on Saturday. So that was actually very exciting. And I'll tell you that moving forward, if your bracket's doing well, in addition to everything else, makes everything just a little bit more exciting. Let's talk some favorite moments. I'll go first because you hit on kind of, you know, the gambling side of things. Not necessarily a favorite moment, but the most meaningful and impactful moment to me was Mizzou making a round of 32 run, which was super, super fun and super, super exciting. But it was weird because, and I watched the game with you, neither of us really – well, you didn't care regardless, but it was hard to root against Princeton, especially with Blake Peters, the kid from, you know, our area growing up, actually, you know, should have gone to my high school. He transferred to play at a better high school. But like, that was exciting seeing him knock down threes. It sucked that it was against Mizzou, but the combination of just the Princeton run, I'm combining it with Mizzou winning a game was definitely one of my top March Madness moments, if not favorite moments.
How about the fact that we both looked at each other that morning and were like, we should bet on Blake Peters to have three threes today. And we're like, oh, well, he's the seventh man in the rotation. They don't have his odds for three threes. And he had five in the second half, which means we're just geniuses. Mm-hmm. On that same note, maybe the funniest moment was me and Andrew betting on the first basket of the second half of San Diego State.
Oh, that was the best moment.
While we were eating lunch, sitting at a bar eating lunch, we were like, what do you think the odds the first basket of the second half is a three? We looked, and it was high odds. We threw some money on it, and there was a free bet responsibly. And it smashed. After like four missed shots, someone hit a three, and we went nuts, and it was awesome. So, but that's not my real best moment.
No. That's both of our real best moments.
Right.
The rest of the stuff we're saying is not our actual best moments.
Right. Exactly. I'm going to go with the Kansas State basketball team. I just think that the story is just ridiculous, right? You've got Keontae Johnson, who was offered $5 million by the NCAA to not play basketball anymore. Who collapsed on the court in 2020, who was the preseason player of the year at SEC, transfers to Kansas State. Their point guard, Marquise Noel, also transferred in. turns into the best player in the entire tournament. First year head coach Jerome Tang. Kansas State was picked last in the Big 12. The list goes on and on and on. They didn't have a single player that was on the roster last year on the roster this year. Them singing and dancing the Little Baby before games. I mean, it's just Kansas State won over the hearts of everybody. And of course they had the run into FAU where people didn't know what to do. Who do we root for in this game? Everything about Kansas State was so, so fun. I think that's another great storyline.
So was the Keontae Johnson $5 million for him to never play basketball again, or just never play college basketball?
Not playing college. Yeah. Not playing college.
Okay. Interesting. I do think it's interesting. Obviously turned it down, but I'm curious. So if he's not an NBA guy, you know, how much more or less than $5 million will he make in his career? Not saying he should have done the other way, just thinking about it from a different perspective, from a pure number standpoint. I wonder like how much he made from choosing to play, if that makes sense.
I do think that he's an NBA pick, maybe even a first round pick. And I also think there's no price on an Elite Eight run in the NCAA tournament.
That's why I preface my thing by saying just pure number standpoint. I wonder how much he made from choosing to play.
Yeah. I do think if you take the $5 million, you go, okay, well, he stopped playing. He has $5 million, but now he's going overseas forever. Like he's not going to make as much as taking away the $5 million, which is answering your question. Take away the $5 million, become an NBA first round pick, and you now have career earnings of $50 million or something. So, and because he was one of the best players also in the NCAA tournament, like there's no doubt about it. So,
made the right choice for sure. Just curious.
All things considered, absolutely made the right choice. And thank God for his health. It's such an awesome story. So yeah, that's that Kansas State team. I fell in love with them so quickly. The only thing that was holding me back was the fact that I had to root for them while realizing that it helped your bracket. I was like, this is miserable.
And I said way back when that I thought they were going to go far. So that was weighing on you a little bit too.
Yeah. I was like, Andrew just can't, we can't have him sounding smart. I'm the basketball guy.
It would be so hard to explain why our night at the games was so much fun with FAU. So I'm going to save everyone else trying to explain that. Yeah, but just know that post FAU Memphis in the arena was my highlight. Of
course. I do think Andrew has he has reason to think that they're in the Final Four because of him. And I'll let Andrew say his next thing, but just know that, and I posted on my Instagram, Andrew posted an actual post on his Instagram. We somehow got a picture with Owsley, the mascot, who is not a woman. Or not a female. It's a man. Owsley. Anyway, continue.
Owls he?
Yeah. Well, I guess we just don't know.
Yeah. Whatever. Who cares? But so, man, I'm just trying to think of another moment that kind of sticks out. I will say this kind of funny story. I was in Dallas for the Gonzaga-UCLA game. And I was exhausted and I texted my friends. And of course, Gonzaga was my champion, a lot of money on the line. I texted my friends and I go, there's never been a more check the score in the morning game of my whole life than this Gonzaga game. And this is how I know I'm old, because I would be staying up for this game, no doubt, any year of my life before this year, but I was exhausted. The hotel room was a little too close to the bar and I got awoken by an eruption. After Gonzaga hit the three that ultimately was the game winner. So I was fired up to see that. So a little mini favorite moment was waking up and seeing that my hopes and dreams were still alive. I felt like a kid again, going to sleep early, your team's losing, you wake up, they won. Felt like a kid.
Yeah, that was awesome. Except for the fact that I had UCLA to win it all. So that stunk for me. I don't want to say Kansas State again, but like that Kansas State Michigan State game was
so. You can't say them again.
I'm not going to. That Kansas State Michigan State game was so unbelievably awesome. I mean, we could say Purdue or FDU beating Purdue, like the upsets were awesome. Man, I don't know what else to do without. There's been so much so long ago
because they got murdered in the second round. Was Furman
against Virginia? Here's what I'm going to give you though. The actual other storyline that's awesome is Jim Larrañaga. He is so awesome. His demeanor in general is just amazing. His philosophy of I've taught these guys everything they need to know, and I trust them to just go out there and win and play basketball. It makes a lot easier when you've got probably the two best guards remaining in Nigel Pack and Isaiah Wong. But like, man, that team and Jim Larrañaga is so fun. I'm pretty sure we might've talked about it with Timmy. Maybe we were just joking about it before, but like the fact that he in the huddle in the most clutch moments of the game against Texas is sitting there telling his team, what more could you want? We're right here with a chance to win. Like, what more could you want? Where would you rather be? Like, that is just so – and then him dancing in the locker room after. Like, Jim Larrañaga, Miami Hurricanes, the other really, really fun story.
Agreed. I think, you know, with the risk of just being boring and repeating everything with Timmy, we'll throw it to our interview with Tim right now. We get into our final four predictions with Tim as well, which is why we're not saying it right here. However, I will say the next episode of DTL is TBD. We're figuring out the summer plans. We're figuring out the post.
He just has to go to Paris. He just has to go to Paris.
We're figuring out the post March Madness content plan. If you have ideas, if there's things you want to hear, things you want to see, send them our way. We'll get them in the works. If you want to intern for Drive the Lane, hit us up. Why not? We'll listen to you. You could sit in on the show, edit it. Why not? Reach out. But let's get to our interview with Tim Hall, the Hall of Famer, Timmy Hall. All right, join us now on Drive the Lane, the Hall of Famer, Timmy Hall. Welcome back to the show.
Boys, how we doing, man? We have made it to the final four of the NCAA tournament. Here we go.
It's so bittersweet. I know you feel the same way, Timmy. It's like the final four is what you think about every game all year long when your team is playing. Can we make it to the final four? Is there any chance? Obviously, Ohio State season didn't go as planned, but now you get to the final four and you sit here and you go, there's less than a week of college basketball left. There are three games that really matter. Left. What are your thoughts on the final? How do you feel? Like, put into words what you're feeling right now.
Man, well, you know what? I do love it. Like a true Ohio State themed podcast, you had to find a way to like work the Buckeyes in to the final four, even though they could not be farther away from it. I mean, they weren't even close to being in the tournament this year.
They were pretty close.
Two wins away.
Two, so close, but yet so far away. Under 500, buddy. I'm sorry. I can't allow it. Close to the NCAA tournament. I can't allow it. Disallowed. But, you know, let's be honest. As a program, they shouldn't be that far away from it. They might show us a pretty big step in this very next season here. But it's kind of painful to think about, you know, because you are looking at a Florida Atlantic team that's won 35 games and is in the Final Four. You're looking at a San Diego State team. Much credit to Brian Dutcher. I mean, I think that guy's been on the staff there since the early 2000s or maybe even longer, came over with Fisher, the Michigan man who wound up out there. And he's done a tremendous job. But some of the non-traditional programs that you're seeing in the Final Four, and you wonder about yourselves, like, what are those buttons that you have to press to get that kind of run? And I do understand that a lot of it is random as well. That's what the NCAA tournament is, totally random, and it's not really indicative of who the best teams are in the country. But at the same time, I love it. So credit to the guys that have made it. I, of course, am going to be watching every single second, probably pulling for Florida Atlantic just because they're still the underdog story, and they were here in Columbus. So I love that about them, guys.
they were in Columbus along. I can confidently say, Joey and Tim, we went to the two, you know, kind of best to an extent games of the tournament. The first one being the 16 seed over one seed, which was incredible. The second one being that Memphis FAU game where both teams won the game three times, basically. But my question is, I just laid out two pretty shocking ones, FAU, the Final Four, and Fairleigh Dickinson being Purdue. But where were you the most wrong this year with your predictions, or where were you the most surprised?
Are you talking about just with the brackets, Andrew, or with college basketball with, the whole entire season?
Starting March 12th.
Yes. And I think everybody's wrong, right? I actually don't feel that bad about my bracket. I had... And I have zero Final Fours, you know, I have zero Final Fours, but I don't feel that bad because I didn't have Purdue going and they were the one seed that was out the earliest. I didn't have Kansas going and they were a one seed that was out in the second round. I didn't have Houston going. So I know none of the one seeds made it to the Elite Eight. I had UCLA, Texas, Alabama, and Duke. Duke was the one where I really stubbed my toe the biggest. And I was banking on a hot team that, although was young, was built with NBA type dudes, you know, younger NBA type dudes, kind of one of those Calipari looking teams from when he was setting up those Kentucky squads left and right with draft pick and lottery pick after lottery pick after lottery pick. And maybe I should have focused a little bit more on the ACC competition that Duke was going up against. But at the same time, look at Miami. Miami is here, and you don't really want to criticize the conference that they're in too much. Just focus on the fact that they're a good basketball team with Pack, with Isaiah Wong. They've got the big guy down low who might have some problems with Sonogo in this next one against Connecticut. But the other dude, Jordan Miller, who I've been loving his story for Miami because he's a Northern Virginia guy. And I'm from that area, and he's from a smaller town in Northern Virginia called Middleburg. There's a nice deli in that town. We'd stop off on Route 50 and have some cold cut sandwiches there. You're not used to seeing high end Division I basketball talents coming from that area. And he went through George Mason, where Larrañaga was, of course, and then wound up there. But I honestly don't feel like I was way off the mark, more so than anyone else would have been. I guess I wish I would have put more stock into UConn, who is looking like a really good team. But all in all, like I didn't put my eggs into, you know, Purdue or any of the guys that were really, really embarrassing, or Kansas, you know, for that matter. So I had my ones were typically the ones that went on to the Sweet 16, at least.
Andrew's definitely the most right out of us three. I will toot my own horn and say I had two futures this year, and they just so happened to be seated that they played each other. Or they were slated to play each other, but couldn't quite do it. And that was UCLA and UConn. So I feel kind of smart for having the UConn future, but I will let Andrew talk about why he's such a genius with his bracket.
Mine was almost a genius. I had Gonzaga, Kansas State, Houston, and Alabama in the Final Four. So for a second, it was
you could have had them all.
I could have had them all. And it,
instead he had none.
I had none. Even though it seemed like, because of when the games are, it seemed like they were all really close. Bama wasn't close in the end. Houston wasn't close to making it in. But I really had a chance of like an awesome K-State Gonzaga, two out of the four. And I was just completely wrong in the end, along with everyone. Tim, I have an idea that you may have never seen before on a podcast where you're the guest. Do you care if I ask Joey a question? Because I think you're going to be interested in the answer.
Do I care? I mean, dude, this is a conversation. We should all be asking each other questions.
All right. So Joey, my question to you, FAU.
What if he was like, no, you can't do that.
He could say, I'm the focus. I'm your guest. But Joey, my question to you.
Yeah.
As a former player, and Tim, if you played professional D1 college basketball,
I was a big professional basketball guy.
But Joey, when Do you think the FAU coach at the beginning of the season was like, when we're training in the weight room, when we're practicing hard, it's going to pay off when we're cutting down the nets to go to the Final Four come March? Is that something that the FAU coach said to his players?
Probably not that specifically. I don't think Holtman was saying that even. And there's the more realistic chance that Ohio State goes to a Final Four than FAU in any given season. I guarantee you they talked about beating teams like Florida in their non-conference. I guarantee you they talked about winning their regular season conference championship, winning their conference tournament, and winning games in the NCAA tournament. Did they talk about going to a Final Four? I don't know if anybody – like, I'm sure, like, North Carolina was like, let's get back to a Final Four and win a national championship. I'm sure Gonzaga is saying stuff like that. Maybe even UConn, teams like UConn, who were preseason highly ranked. But – there's probably not one team in the Big Ten that was thinking that. Maybe Indiana. I mean, like, but then again, they had no taste of it. So I don't know. It's Final Four is very lofty. You go into the season and you're like, well, they're at the beginning of the year, there's 10 teams that can make the Final Four. Then as the year goes on, that turns into like 25, and then you get in the tournament and zero out of those 25 make it. But I don't think that Dusty May was saying, we're going to the Final Four, prepare like we're going to the Final Four, envision the Final Four. But I guarantee you, the whole time they're thinking, why not us? You know, like, we can, every individual game they could and did win. So it is like a why not us mentality. But it would be crazy if Dustin May was like, here's the sign of the goals that we had, and the last one is Final Four. Like, that would be a little wild to me.
But I love, by the way, Dusty May. For a quick second, the Florida Atlantic coach, he has this look about him where he looks like he'll be incredibly engaging and receptive. Like, when he's been doing the interviews, even like the celebratory interviews, and he gives like a 4-word answer. Like, he has a perfect smile on his face, and like Tracy Wolfson or whoever the reporter would ask him, like, oh, so what do you think, coach? He's like, well, you know, we just really play for each other. And like, that's the answer. Like, okay. And then like, you like have to ask him another one real fast, but he seems like an awesome dude. And obviously he's going to make himself a ton of money if he's going to want that somewhere else. But that's interesting that you said that about, you know, not really paying attention to Final Four runs at the start of the year. There's a lot of work that has to be done to make a run like that. I don't know exactly how he said it, but Brian Dutcher, he was speaking about that in one of his, I think it was the post-game press conference after they'd completed the trip to the Final Four. He was saying, like, this is something we talked about, that not necessarily at the beginning of this year, you know, but overall in general, as a recruiting pitch, like, we are a program. We believe that we can be a Final Four program. And I love that for the folks where we all kind of give the cliche, oh, you said it, like 25 teams. Oh, there's like, it's wide open. It's like the biggest college basketball cliche. Oh, Bill. It's a wide open tournament. I mean, how's that bracket going to look, Bill? Like, oh, it could be anybody. And then Bama really started to look like that top dog. But here we are. You get San Diego State and Florida Atlantic to cash in, backing it up that this was a year where almost like 20 to 30 programs could make a run at the Final Four, because two of them are there.
I think what's most remarkable and what people maybe aren't talking enough about is that mid-majors have a good a chance as ever to make these runs, because of, number one, right now they have four and 5 year guys that are starting and playing a ton of minutes. Like, these are grown ass men playing against young guys in a lot of cases. They've played with each other for a number of years. They're not transferring all willy nilly like everybody else is at the high level. Maybe they have their star that transfers up, or their guys that are, you know, not in great standing with the coaches that transfer down or away or whatever. But a lot of these schools are getting, not only are they having their core stay together for years and years and years, but they also are getting the guys from the high level Division I teams that are transferring to get more minutes. Like, it's a weird time that these mid majors are just as good as every other. I mean, it's obviously Florida Atlantic was, I mean, they were ranked in the top 25 when the tournament started. They were not, it's not a Cinderella, like, as much as you want it to be. It's not. They're really good. They won 30.
They're a 9 seed, but they're a 9.
No doubt. But I'm just saying, like, Florida Atlantic is better than Indiana, right? I mean, like, they were very underseeded.
They were better than like every Big Ten team besides Purdue
and Michigan State, maybe.
Yeah.
That's the thing where I would push back a second. And I am in no way defending the Big Ten. I'm not getting into this mood where I'm defending Big Ten basketball. I've actually chosen against it because it's time to stop. Like, I get Tom Izzo is allowed to say whatever the hell he wants to say.
Yeah, I
get that. He's Tom Izzo. He's the one carrying the torch for the conference. But I can't just hear some general person saying, oh, Big Ten after this. Oh, it's the best conference in the country. Stop it. It's not. Like, you've got to go through something in the tournament. It's one of the best conferences. Totally. But on FAU, that's what's fun about our sport. I think it's reasonable to say, like, if you put FAU and just drop them into one of the major conferences, well, I think any sane person would agree their record ain't going to look like that record.
100%.
Their record could be a lot different. Now, they could be as good of a team, but that also might be a 22-10 record going into the Big Dance. They could still probably wind up going on that run. They'd be battle-tested. They'd be taking a lot more uppercuts throughout the course of the season. I mean, those two guards, and then capped off by that John L. Davis dude, obviously you're seeing they can play on their best night against anyone in the country. I don't know if that automatically means they're better than every Big Ten program just because they outlasted every Big Ten team. They're having a hell of a run right now, and they deserve to be where they're at.
Yeah, that was a stretch. I agree with you, Timmy. You drop them in the Big Ten, they go 10-10. It's not like they win the conference.
Yeah, right? Probably. Yeah.
You know, I just think that it's that we're in a state of college basketball, which is very fun because the parity is insane, where every major college team can beat every other major college team, and every mid-major team can really compete, which is, I mean, it's unbelievable. And the coaching is unbelievable too. Every coach is so great. It's crazy.
And Andrew, when you only have like these one-off games, and that's what the format is, it's not the NBA playoffs where it's a 7-game series. And to Joey's point, there's enough talent at these mid-major levels, especially when they get amped up and they start to get that belief and they only have to bring it for, and sometimes it's not even a full 40 minutes. Like, we always say that, but who actually plays a full 40 minutes? You're going to have some minutes where you slog in a game. But if you can get some three-point shooting and just have a guy or two that's on a heater, I mean, we just watched Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue. That can't happen, right? But it did. So, like, that, they wouldn't do that again 9 more times. But for that night, that time, you know, it happened. So there's teams out there that can get you if you're not on your A game.
My two things that I've been thinking this whole tournament, it's kind of three, but I'll limit it to two so I don't talk for the next hour. The first one is mid-major, the teams that fall into that category, I think is bigger now too. Like, I think there's more mid-majors before you get to the low majors. Yeah, so yeah. I think that is a big part of it also. Like, the American is not Power Five, but they're also definitely not mid-major, you know? So, like, there's a chunk of schools, and yes, FAU is going to the American. So, like, there's a chunk of schools where if any of those teams win any game, like, you're not shocked. And then there's the tier below that is now stronger. My other point that I wanted to make is, UConn at one point this year they were number one, right?
Yes, they were.
They were the last
Right.
The last Power Five team undefeated.
Right. So there, at Kansas State was near number one. Michigan State was preseason ranked like 15th or whatever they were, 10th. You know, there was just so many teams that ended up being 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seeds that at some point during the year, Creighton's a great example. You know, at some point during the year were even higher than that, where I feel like the upsets, yes, they were upsets, but they weren't as ridiculous as they were in the past. Texas, the 2 seed, won the Big 12, beat Kansas. Like, they could have been 1 seed. You know, there was just so many teams where it didn't feel like the upsets. There were so many upsets, but it didn't feel like they were so ridiculous at some of the closer seed levels, because 1 or 2 game difference during the regular season, then the seeds are flipped.
there's almost, I kind of like what you said about your categorization of the of programs out there now too, Andrew. And maybe we could come up with a term that's in between mid-major and high major. I almost wonder if San Diego State fits into a box like that, or if we just give them credit as a high major. I mean, right. They're in the Mountain West, but I would say, like, take Utah State, for example.
Yeah. Great.
They're in the same conference, but I also don't think they have the same overall pedigree of what San Diego State has done, having a guy like Kawhi Leonard and having some of the success. Remember, San Diego State was 30-2 the year that the tournament got canceled. They were a one seed. They were going to be a one seed. Maybe Dayton here in Ohio.
Wichita State.
It's kind of year, they were going to be a one seed too. But you know what I mean? Like Utah State, they kind of are a premium mid-major team, and they might be in between that and a high major. But then I think I agree, like in the same vein, like an Iona these days would not be a low major. That would be like a solid mid-major. Even like a Vermont Catamounts be a solid mid-major. Like if you saw them on a non-conference schedule, they could go into like a very tough gym. I remember even like in 2004 when I was a student at KU, I think it was right after they had their famous Syracuse win with Copenrath was the big, this'll test it, and TJ Sorrentine was the guard who hit the shot that beat Syracuse. They came into Allen Fieldhouse and I watched that Vermont team play the Jayhawks to like 7 points. So it was like, oh shit, like these guys, they can play. And I remember seeing the Richmond Spiders come to Allen Fieldhouse and win. And we were all like, what? Like the Spiders, it's a cool name. Like, but damn, no, that can't happen. So I'm with you. I'm with you there. There's a lot happening in the game right now. It's very interesting.
It's becoming more about teams than conferences.
Yeah, like it is.
Specific teams are catapulting out of, like Dayton's a great example. If Dayton's ever good enough to be in the tournament without winning their conference tournament, they're usually good enough to be like a 4, 5, 6 seed, which, you know, would.
They were a one. They would have been a one.
Exactly. So yeah, it's
like they would have been a one seed. The Dayton frickin' Flyers would have been a one seed in the NCAA tournament. It's wild. I mean, we saw Wichita State, another example, right? Where they were no longer mid-major. I don't know if you could have called them high major, but they were a one seed. Like this happens every now and then. Butler went to 2 straight NCAA championship games out of the freaking Horizon League. Like, and we're kind of going back years now.
They're playing Chicago State during the regular season.
Well, Chicago schools, what about Loyola? How good has Loyola become?
Well, 100%. There's definitely this like mid-major plus category. You know,
it's a plus. Yeah.
It's teams that, you know.
You have to pay $7.99 a month to be in it.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah. Mid-major gold. Mid-major premium.
And and there's too many of them. You have to like clip some of them out so you don't overload.
You can get relegated.
Yeah.
One thing that I think is interesting that I saw on Twitter. What if the tournament was just, there's no seeds. Like you don't have a seed. You are put into a bracket, right? You know, like if you just took away the numbers, there'd be less like, oh, this team, it's more about the matchups, right? I mean, that would be interesting, right? Like you're still playing. If you're a one seed, you're playing a 16 seed, but there's no seeds associated with it. If that makes sense. So then when you're in the middle, you know, when Missouri's playing Penn State, I don't know, it's like, you know, I don't know, 7-10 or is it 8-9? I don't know. That was just an idea.
I just want to say, and Andrew, I only will entertain discussions about tinkering with the NCAA tournament in talk and fun only. That's it.
I don't want this to happen. I just saw it. I'm just bringing up a discussion point. That's all.
Go ahead.
Well, I think anything after the first round these days, especially when the spread's like 3, it's tough for me to call it a big upset. Like Arkansas beating Kansas, in my eyes, that's an upset because they're a one seed, but Arkansas, you know, had guys that were hurt all year. They're not your traditional, were they 9?
It was preseason top 10.
Right, yeah. Right. This is just a weird year. I think the umbrella of it, people say transfers, people say extra year of eligibility. People say mid-majors are getting better, mid-major plus are getting better. The umbrella to all of it is the COVID year, which is the
100%.
So no matter what your below that reasoning is, the umbrella over it is the COVID year. So I do think it'll kind of come back to normal, come back to reality a little bit when, you know, the Drew Timmies of the world aren't, you know, having to do any sketchy behind the scenes stuff to get an extra year and they can just do it. You're going to argue against me. Let's hear it, Tim.
No, I actually want to build off that.
Okay.
I was going to kick it to Joey about the, cause you hit on the super senior year, which I think is a crucial point to stop on and discuss a little bit further when you look at the game and how it's been going here. Joey, I'm just wondering your opinion. Do you think like the power players, like the suits that are kind of like the Illuminati behind the scenes in college basketball, do they like how this super senior year is in effect, or that can they not wait to see it out of there? So maybe less of these mid-major beefed up teams are knocking off big guys.
I think the answer is they like it because they like to see Oscar Tshiebwe come back after winning National Player of the Year. They like seeing Trayce Jackson-Davis come back. They like seeing Armando Bacot has another year to come back. Drew Timmy, if he wanted to, could come back. Like,
that's crazy, though.
I know it's insane. I mean,
how many of those guys, even that you're mentioning, would even want to would come back for a fifth year? Yeah, four. You'd be counting your chickens with four if those guys gave you.
Oh, for sure. But I don't know. Maybe it's NIL and COVID year that guys are coming back. I think that they like it because the parity is great for a conversation about basketball, college basketball. The only time college basketball is the most relevant sport on the planet is during March anyway. So the more madness, the better, right? I hate when people are like, well, now you got Florida Atlantic versus San Diego State in the Final Four. Good luck getting ratings. It's like, shut up. It's the Final Four. People are going to watch it. You know,
I said that not on a show or on the air. Of course, I'm saying it now. I definitely had that thought like around the at the house, like after it was said. Like, oh, I think I said it to my wife and she didn't even give a shit what I was talking about. I was like, oh, I tell you what, honey, like this is the worst possible outcome for the executives. I'm like, what am I saying? Like, I'm not one of them. This is going to be great. Right.
You ready? You ready for the greatest point that's been made maybe in podcast history?
Whoa. Wait, I'm not ready yet.
All right. Ready now?
Yeah,
all right. Another reason that these mid plus low plus teams are good right now is because recruiting classes, and I don't have the exact numbers, but I'm going to guess that, you know, the recruiting classes are on an average at least a half to one full player less the last 3 years. So as it's getting pushed down and down and down, the bottom of the guys or the middle of the guys are now going to the Florida Atlantics, which is all branched from the COVID year.
Yes, because you've had a bigger roster. You've generally had a roster that was going to have some staying power because those extra years of eligibility. So you didn't need that. I totally understand the theory.
And those guys are good that are at the back of the benches. Yeah. The Bruce Thorntons of the world that, you know, bad example because he went to Ohio State, but the Bruce Thorntons of the world who are now not going to North Carolina because guys are coming back are now going
to College of Charleston.
Or West Virginia, which is then pushing the West Virginia guy back and so on down. And so forth. Yeah. So it's the
I am pro 5 years of eligibility. I asked that question to Joey because I asked that question to Joey about like what would the power mongers in college basketball, what would they want? Because I do kind of worry about that stuff, how people who don't like love the game at the level that like guys like you and I love the game and we like seeing some of this parity and it's fun. Like it's fun to go to school at a place like, I don't know, just pick another, like I just said, College of Charleston or like Winthrop for however many years. It's fun to like think about going to school to a place and then you can dominate your league and then actually catch a few really good, really talented players that want to stay and develop. And then You can go get a couple of big wins in the NCAA tournament. You can travel to that site and have some memories that'll last, you know, a lifetime if you're a big basketball fan while you're in school. I think that's great. And I think the 5 years of eligibility, it's just smart because we were already to a point where we were allowing that percentage year to kick in. So, you know, you could play a certain percentage of the year and then wind it back and shut it down and keep that eligibility. Well, why not just quote unquote rip that Band-Aid off too and give 5 years of eligibility? Because even at some of the bigger programs, you could have a chance to get some familiarity that you're not used to seeing at this level anymore. I mean, even at Ohio State, this is kind of, it's kind of stung how you've had some really good players that maybe got to their upper years and you thought you were going to get that one more year. And then they chose to leave and go pro. But like a guy like Kyle Young chooses to maintain that eligibility and sticks around. I just think at all levels of college basketball, it's a good idea. It might not affect the top as much as it would the middle and the bottom, but it keeps that competitiveness for those lower tier, like we talked about, which is becoming a smaller group, the very low level of Division I, but the growing mid-major group, more of those 4 and 5 year players, then you're really talking about something. And then you can still, for the bigger guys, get some of those transfer students up who are really experienced players, get them for a 2 year window instead of just a 1 year window for the guys that graduate after 3 and still have 2 full years left. Then I think that could really be something. Like if you had a Sean McNeil for 2 years and not one, that becomes
I don't understand why he can't come back. He played 3 years at West Virginia and 1 year at Ohio State.
Lower level. He was a different case because he played.
Oh yeah. He transferred from a JUCO. That's so on me.
No. I haven't even.
About that for a long time. And I was like, I'm just telling you, Andrew, he does not have another year. He's like, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, he played at like a community college in Ohio, like in the Dayton area. Yeah. So he burned one there. He might be 25 years old. He has an interesting story. I think he was ready to quit basketball and he was going through some stuff and he credited Huggy Bear. He credited Bob Huggins for helping to like bring him back in or at least giving him a chance at that level of college basketball. Maybe there are some other coaches and people in his life that helped him to get him to stay with the sport, but he was ready to like, think about all those kinds of stories that are out there. Like Sean McNeil was that close to just not even playing hoops anymore and how good of a college basketball player he is. I mean, that's a 10 point a game guy off the bench that can change a game for you with his shooting and more than that too. Cause we've seen him do other things and just stay beyond the 3-point line. Like that guy has a dribble and a, like a step and a pop and he could break a guy off the dribble and get to that 17 foot range and rise and fire and hit those or take it to the rim. He was a nice player for Ohio State. I wish the year would have gone a lot better for him.
Future Carmen's Crew legend.
We love Sean. Maybe we might be his biggest fans ever, which is well documented. Timmy, before we let you go, we got to wrap this up kind of the way we started. Let's hear some predictions for the Final Four. Who's winning the two games and who's your national champ?
All right. I think I'm going to go for it here. Everybody is on UConn right now. And I find it hard to believe that it's going to continue to be that easy when this doesn't feel like that North Carolina Tar Heel team that had Hansbrough and Ellington and Lawson and Danny Green. And they just had double digit victories all the way to Michigan State. And then they kicked their ass in the national championship game. This Miami team is a very good basketball team. Very good basketball team. And they've got pieces. I mean, they got a big time guard in and pack. Isaiah Wong is a stud. Amir is good enough big, I think. He's gonna have a tough task with Sonogo, no doubt. But I'm gonna take Miami for the upset over UConn. And I'm gonna have Miami winning the national championship over San Diego State. So Miami over SDSU to win it all.
Unfortunately, that's not going to happen because you're going to run into the curse of the second game, which is the teams that play in the second game, at least since the tournament was canceled. So this is 2 years. The
big sample.
Post, it's a new, the new era of, you know, bonus years. The team that wins the first game that gets to rest, relax. You know, usually it's not as marquee of a matchup, so it's probably not going to be as big of a dogfight. That is the team that will win. So I'll go with you with Miami, but San Diego State is going to beat Miami in the championship. Woo!
Love it. I think UConn rolls against Miami, and I think UConn rolls against whoever else is in front of them. And that's the only point behind it I have, is that I have money on them to win it all. So therefore, that's what I'm rooting for. A sweat-free.
It sucks that they got put in the second game. I mean, just out of your control.
It sucks that they have that every round they're playing the best team left. And just
now I'm worried UConn's going to beat Miami by 29 points.
Miami's unbelievable. I just can't believe Miami and UConn can't. This is what it feels like to me.
Can't we reseed like the NFL playoffs?
Yes. So this is what it feels like to me. Gonzaga versus UConn before the game started felt like the winner was going to the national champ. It was the national champ. Now this actually feels like Ohio State, Georgia is Miami versus UConn.
Good. That's a good.
And TCU, analogy. Michigan is San Diego State versus FAU. And the winner of that game is irrelevant to me. That's how I feel.
There is no way either FAU or SDSU is as big of a poser as TCU is for the top of college basketball compared to the top of college football that looked like.
I do think that if UConn loses, if Miami loses, whoever loses is going to watch that national, probably won't watch the national championship game, honestly. But if they did watch it, they're sitting there like, oh my God, we would have been the national champs.
Part of what I love about the game of basketball is it's harder to beat the shit out of somebody like that in this sport. Whereas in a football team, it's 53 dudes. You can just bludgeon a team to death if you have many, many, many more athletes. I mean, 11 guys on the field, the offensive, the defensive line, it rises to the top. In basketball, you could do something special with like one or two really good dudes that can keep you hanging around a game and you can make something happen.
They put their socks and shoes on the same way that you do.
I also, and maybe people's minds will change now because Alabama's out and UConn and Miami have looked so good. But a week ago, if I said San Diego State's going to beat Bama, UConn and Miami, who's the best of those three teams? You would say Bama. So it's not that ridiculous if San Diego State beats UConn or Miami. Like the line,
San Diego State hasn't scored more than 60 points in the last.
But the line, well, they scored 71 against Bama, but the line will be probably closer in the championship than when they played Bama.
Yeah, because they got there. I agree.
So we'll see. Nothing is going to surprise me.
Yeah, I agree. Nothing will surprise me unless UConn gets absolutely demolished in the championship game by FAU. That's the only thing that would surprise me.
That wouldn't surprise me because they're playing in the second game.
A 50 point FAU win. They win 130-80. Would that surprise you?
No, that's just the nature of the beast, right, Tim? Hey,
I just hope that we're going to see the Ohio State women's basketball team in the Final Four. That's what I hope.
The game has already happened, if you're listening.
Yes, it is. Yes, it has.
Let us be the first to say, congratulations, Coach McGuff. You are heading to a Final Four.
Or sorry that happened to you.
Or we're so sorry. We're so close and we're so proud of you.
My buddy texted me that McGuff looks like Ryan Day. Is that a joke amongst the communities?
I don't know what that is about, because no, not even close. Not even close.
I don't see that either.
No.
Let me see if that was the correct. Tim, we know you got something, so you can jump, but I'll find if that was the direct comparison.
Boys, have a good one.
Always a pleasure, Timmy. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys.
Good luck to the women. Enjoy.
Take it easy.
See you, Tim.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed that episode with Timmy Hall and with Joey and I talking, Joey and me, I guess, talking all things March Madness. It was mad. It was Ness. It was March Madness. We didn't make Timmy Hall do the CBS theme. I've been seeing on Twitter and stuff that he's been doing that a lot on the show. So maybe next time we'll get him to do that.
Da, 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 da. There you go.
I'm not going to be able to watch the Final Four and championship because I'll be out of town. However, the jet
out of the country, not out of the country.
The jet lag.
You really won't be able to watch.
I mean, I could watch, but bro, the ratings are going to suck anyway. Why am I going to?
Yeah, why would I watch Florida Atlantic for San Diego State when the Eiffel Tower is right there, bro?
Right, we went to Florida Atlantic, but why we went to a Florida Atlantic game? But why would we ever watch them on TV?
We saw them when we saw. I seriously think you have like 6% of 1%. You're the reason why they are where they are.
A sixth of a once?
Yeah. Sixth of a first?
Sixth of a once.
Sixth of a one. Well, that was fun with Timmy. Love that guy to pieces. What an NCAA tournament. Again, just a quick recap. I've got UConn steamrolling Miami and then steamrolling San Diego State. Andrew thinks that's impossible. It was impossible when I took UConn to win at all. So Andrew, forgive me. I think you have San Diego State beating UConn, right?
No, I don't care what happens in the second game because I know the winner of the first game is going to beat them.
You're putting your legacy on the line there?
Legacy on the line.
All right. Awesome. Well, again, congrats to the Ohio State women's team, or we're sorry. Wishing you guys the best. Wait, it just started. Let's get a live score update. Whoever's winning right now, 10 minutes into the game, will determine who wins the game. Unless Ohio State's losing. Give me one sec. It's loading.
Kind of messed up. It's not in your favorites.
I have to turn on the TV, Andrew.
Well, I have this thing on my phone where I can just like check the score real quick, but it has not started yet due to South Carolina and Maryland running long.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations. It's a tie. That's crazy.
New rule. I'm putting this rule into effect right now. New rule with the Elite Eight moving forward. The two Elite Eight teams that play on the same day need to play each other in the Final Four. It's annoying that it crossed.
Yeah, that was weird. I agree. That was weird.
Yeah.
It's about to tip. No, it's about to tip right now. That's okay. Well, good luck to the Ohio State women's team. Congrats again, or we're sorry. I'm wishing you shout out to McGuff either way.
Buckle up. Drive the lane.
Go Huskies.
Beat the Hokies.
Yes, beat the Hokies. Oh, yeah. Kill them.
Or past tense, they did beat the Hokies.
That's right. Good call, Andrew.
Blocking out early, that's the dish I don't like. Been getting paid since I was riding on the bike. Hit the pedal with the eighth, hopping on the ninth flight. I've been chilling out of sight, I'll be at the bar tonight. Told the bartender, go and take my car to swipe. You try the same thing, but your car get declined. White rappers nowadays, no one not too hard to find. I'm so dapper with my ways, I'm gonna linger in your mind. Always told me good things will come to those who are patient. But I've been way too patient, riding bars in my basement. I'm anxious in the real world, it's time for me to say this. The basics, the talent in my mind, I can't waste it. My life is too safe, it's my time for risk taking. I'm baking my mind every day, it's the same ish. Lazy, my grind needs to get a new facelift. Coming from the underground and busting through the pavement. Rock with it, and lean with it. My team winning, my team winning. Now rock with it, and lean with it. My team turned up when I spit it. Now rock with it, and lean with it. My team winning, my team winning. Now rock with it, and lean with it. My team turned up when I spit it. Don't think that I'm playing because I'm saving the game. And I said that I will be more because, oh yeah, that is so raving. Racing and pacing around all these lames in my lane. Out my way, unless you're trying to pay me. Not from the playpen, it's coming from the jungle. When you hear the bell, you better be ready to rumble. Because I'ma grab the gloves and I'm gonna flex my muscles. Go ahead and spit some bars, but you're probably just gonna mumble. Lot of rappers these days really need to get them humble. Cause they think they at the top, they better stop before they stumble. Cause I'm swiping all their biddies while they swiping right on Bumble. And your girlie calls me daddy, but she only calls you uncle. But no, we not related, homie, no, we not some fam. You never get in clubs. leave that towel in your hand. Rock with it and lean with it. My team win it. My team win it. Now rock with it and lean with it. My team turn up when I spit it. Now rock with it and lean with it. My team win it. My team.